Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to 2020. This is Ken Hodge, mail handler out of Columbus, Ohio. And on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, it has been customary for me and my partner, Robert Frost, who may join us later, to bring you relevant injury compensation news as it lends itself to federal employees. But as I always like to make clear, my interest is within two postal employees. This is our first podcast for 2020. And again, the podcast is designed that Robert and I, who study and research injury compensation, try to keep ourselves in position that we can provide postal employees or federal employees with relevant information should they become injured at work or injured, should they become injured at work. Again, we're talking injury compensation. Now, before I get into the actual injury compensation portion of the podcast, I want to say to all postal employees, injury compensation is something that you ought to be interested in early in your career. I will not, and I would love to have you develop this same mantra or attitude, that you will not in your career walking with a little giddy up in your limp because you suffered an injury at work and you were afraid or uninformed on the proper way to file or make that accident known to postal management. I am more than aware that employees are afraid to file accident claims. They are afraid to inform management that they've been involved in an accident because postal management continues to show disrespect for the FICA Act itself. The post office does a poor job at training managers on the actions they should take if you become injured at work. And as a direct result of not being trained properly, the postal supervisor and the postal manager adapt the attitude that an accident is wrong, and an accident, again, somebody has to be at fault, and that somebody, more times than not, is going to be you, as per the postal manager and the postal supervisor's perception. But I want to say to the employees, and again, mainly to the newer employees, but just as relevant to our senior employees, when you begin your career at the post office, your body is not used to exercising a lot of the muscles that you're going to exercise on a daily basis, because working at the post office will entail continuous repetitive motion. Now, the post office has gone out of its way as an agency to ensure safe work practices are a part of the job process. But as always, we as postal employees always know more than postal management. And while that may be true most of the time, this is one area where I really wish postal employees would just accept the fact blindly that postal management is 100% correct in their procedures and policies with respect to curtailing or eliminating at-work accidents. And when I say that, I say that because we as employees, if you would slow down, and I do mean slow down, and read for understanding the policies that govern safe operations, safe operations of the job you do every day. I guarantee you, most of you would do the job differently. Do you hear what I'm saying? What I'm saying to you is, if we abide by postal rules and regulations when it comes to safe work environment, safe work condition, safe work practices, you're going to save yourself a lot of pain and suffering, because I'll stand on a soapbox and tell you, when it comes to working safe, the post office in policy has it figured out. Oh, they do have it figured out. But there's a disconnect between the policies and the application or the enforcement of the policy. Again, we're talking injury compensation, but I believe the best prevention is never being involved in an accident at all anyway. So, as we talk CA1s and CA2s, which are some of the major forms that we're going to be discussing during this podcast, because those are the two major forms that you as an injured employee is going to come in contact with. But again, I'm going to segue off. Before we discuss those forms, it's important that, as I was saying earlier, that you understand the policies and procedures that actually govern how you're supposed to work every day on that platform or the dock. I see mail handlers pulling 2 and 3 pieces of equipment. You are contributing to an unsafe work environment. And I understand why you do what you do. But I'm going to tell you what you do, if you measure it out on a common sense test, won't pass the common sense test. And let me explain that, because I'm not trying to be talking down at anyone. When you report to work, your area is not set up. The employee has so much of a concern for postal operations that rather than allow his supervisor to dispatch drivers to go and get that equipment for you, you take it upon yourself to do one of two things. One, unauthorizedly put yourself on higher level. Two, hold on. I am so sorry, podcast audience. Don't know what just happened. I just got a text that I just lost 5 minutes of audio. But here we go. We'll take it again. Postal employees, you have to be able to stand up for what you want. You cannot allow supervision to talk you out of reporting injuries that occurred at work. You cannot allow supervision to talk you out of requesting medical attention that you are entitled to. Now, again, I encourage every employee to work safe. But as I was telling the story before the audio left, if your area isn't set up properly, understand this. The post office said you as an employee can only move one piece of equipment at a time if you are not using pit equipment. Every day you hook up 2, 3, 4 APCs, pull them to your area so that there can be efficient operations. I'm saying to you, why would you work unsafe? And if something happens to you, then you're going to be feeling some kind of way because management is going to be the first to say you contribute to that accident by working in an unsafe manner. They're going to present you work policies, and the work policies and procedures clearly state that if you're not on a piece of pit equipment, you should only move one piece of equipment at a time. But every day you move 2 and 3. And let me say this to you. You may be in great physical condition when you start employment, but years of doing that, it's going to deteriorate in the muscles and the lumbars in your back. And then you're going to look at the post office as they are the culprits. Again, I say to you quite adamantly, the post office has excellent policies and procedures on paper that will preclude a lot of the at-work injuries. We choose not to follow them because we get so involved in trying to ensure that production or operations are carried out when I'm going to say this to you as clear as I possibly can. That is not your concern. That is the concern of postal management. Every day I see clerks pulling 2 and 3 APCs to their delivery barcode sorter so that when the operation is done, they are in a position to dispatch the mail. I'm going to say this to you also. When you pull 2 and 3 APCs, you are contributing to an unsafe work environment. And should something happen to you, do not get upset at the postal manager who turns his head and watches you do it every day. But now that there is an issue with you doing it, they're going to be the first to write in their narrative to controvert your claim and hold you accountable for the injury you just suffered. Now, I would like to say, and again, we may get to the CA1s and CA2s, but this is the opening podcast for 2020, and I want to clearly state the mission statement or the platform the Kenny and Rob podcast will be projecting from. I'm going to spend time and energy researching on what can be done to postal managers, and I mean by way of legal action, who fail employees with respect to injury compensation. Yes, I think that if we up the ante to the point where we start bringing in OSHA more often or start contacting legal advice because a claim was not filed, a claim was impeded, a claim was not processed properly on the agency part when it comes to postal employees, I think we will be able to motivate postal headquarters to spend more money and more time ensuring that their supervisors have a comprehensive knowledge on injury compensation, or at the very least, the actions they should take or who they should contact in the event an employee is injured at work. Now, that may sound like a very hard line or a tough position I say I'm going to take or investigate or look into, but I mean that with all sincerity. Because if you are injured, and you would expect that representatives from the agency, the SDO, MDO, plant manager, somebody in the agency would understand the proper way to process your issue. And when that does not take place, then we have a situation that's not going to be good for the employee. So, again, before I want to talk about the injury compensation forms, I want to lay the groundwork, the foundation for employees to understand that when you get hurt at work, again, it's not a question of I won't report it because the supervisor is going to retaliate against me. I won't report it because if I report it, then disciplinary action will be coming my way. Now, I want to say to you in all sincerity, if you blatantly worked in an unsafe manner, then you should understand that there's going to be a negative consequence. But before you get that negative consequence, the Postal Service is still responsible for ensuring that you receive proper medical treatment. Good evening, and how's everybody doing tonight? I see I have one or two callers calling in. Do you desire to ask a question? Okay. The answer to that being no. Well, two forms. hey, what's up, Rob? That's you? Okay. I didn't recognize. Me. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't recognize your phone number. But again, to the podcast audience, that's the other half of the Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast. And I was just explaining to the audience that this is our first of 2020. And I wanted to set a different base that we want to operate from. And that base will include researching and trying to find punitive damages that a official would be willing to take on behalf of postal employees who are injured in postal management when they will not or do not process claims in line with federal code. Now, all too often in 2 minutes in the past, when that happens, the only person that suffers is the injured employee. Well, I'm going to spend a lot of time and looking to ensure that that injured employee is not the only person that suffers. And the other entity that I'm going to try with all I have to be made held accountable for what it is they are supposed to do will be the agency. So, again, that's a whole lot of seasoning on the opening podcast for 2020. But sometimes employees, you have to stand up for what you believe. And I say again, I'm looking at a case currently where it appears that because a Columbus, Ohio employee reported an accident, that management gave him the next step of discipline, which was termination. Now, that's what it appears, still gathering documents. But if that's what it actually is, that employee will be returned to work. And I hope that manager who chose to make that decision based upon the fact that an employee filed an accident or claimed an accident. And might I say, when the employee reported the accident, they reported the accident with that declination statement, which I'm not a big fan of, no medical treatment required at this time. So just because the accident was reported, management felt that to be horrendous enough that employee should lose his job. Again, I hope within the next month or two, on one of our injury conversation podcasts, I can report back to you and tell you that that's not going to be the case, and management will abide by FICA laws, and stop trying to harass, stop attempting to punish employees for injuries resulting from job performance. Now, anytime we talk about injury compensation, two of the most prevalent forms that you're going to hear about on almost any injury compensation podcast, whether it be the Kenny and Rob, federal injury comps, federal worker comps, are going to be the CA1 form and the CA2 form. Those are pretty much the two forms that that start almost everything moving. Either you were hurt at work and you know the date and the time you sustained a traumatic injury, which means you're going to fall into a CA1 category, or you have an occupational injury or illness that happened over time or was exacerbated by your employment, which means you're going to be looking at a CA2 or a CA2A. Now, again, I would love to say it is my desire that all the information that we move along on this podcast never has to be used by any postal employee. But I'm telling you, it's always better to have it and don't need it than need it and you don't have it. So, real quick, when I talk about a CA1, just a little brush over, and again, we'll be breaking this form down. If you follow the podcast within a month or two, you'll be able to regurgitate CA1 and CA2 and the proper way to fill out every block associated with the information requested. But that CA1 form is a notice of occupational disease and a claim for compensation. And again, these forms are regulated by the Department of Labor. Very important. Post office sends in reports just like you send in reports. They're not the deciding factor on anything that involves injury compensation forms. They can request a controvert. They can request a lot of things, but their request is equal to your request, and the Department of Labor will be the final decision-making body that's going to say yes or no to your claim, yes or no to your compensation, yes or no to any other monetary restitution that you may have coming. So it's important that you understand that, and if you understand that, it should lessen or soften the bark of that postal manager when they begin to sway you without asking you not to file an injury form. So you have to understand that we are governed by the Department of Labor, not the Department of the Postal Service.
Hey, can I interject something here?
Yeah, you sure can.
I missed part of the podcast. Going back to what you were originally talking about, I'm going to read something here that's very important. And this comes straight from Section 8120 of Title V, U.S. Department of Labor, Office of Workers' Comp. Whoever, being an officer or employee of the United States, charged with the responsibility for making the reports of the immediate superior specified by said article, willfully fails, neglects, or refuses to make any of the reports, or knowingly files a false report, or induces, compels, or directs an injured employee to forego filing of any claim for compensation or other benefits provided under subchapter 1 of chapter 81, title 5, or any extension or application thereof, or willfully retains any notice, report, claim, or paper which is required to be filed under that subchapter or any extension or application thereof or regulations prescribed thereunder, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for not more than 1 year or both. Right? Now, plain and simple.
You know, again, that kind of, and that's in black and white, but that kind of goes like I was saying earlier. On paper, the Postal Service really has your best interest in mind. On paper, the Postal Service has excellent safety policies. On paper, the federal government provides you with a avenue of redress should your claims not be handled properly. You see, we have all this on paper, but we have to take it from the paper and put it into action. Because right now, I'm willing to bet you that if the Department of Labor ever sued or ever penalized a individual postal supervisor or postal manager for dereliction of duty or failure to do their job properly, I guarantee that would only happen once, maybe twice. But right now, the agency moves forward with the concept that we'll get to it when we get to it. Or a lot of times, they may want to do the right thing. Excuse me, I won't say a lot of times. Once in a blue moon, they may want to do the right thing and just don't have the knowledge. Well, unto you, I say, it must suck being you. Because having the knowledge is part of your job. And even to the postal supervisor and to that manager, I say, if you don't have the knowledge, at least have the knowledge to pick up the phone and call somebody. Have the knowledge to print out a CA-10. Have the knowledge to call your boss and find out what you should do to make sure that employee receives everything that they're entitled to. So as Robert was just reading, there are provisions in place that will hold managers, the agency, accountable for not doing their job properly, but we seem not to take advantage of it. And the only person that suffers is that injured employee. Go ahead, Rob.
There was one other thing. I don't have it gone up in front of me at the moment, but as far as making false statements, that supervisor can be charged, and it's not a fine or imprisonment. It's both for up to 2 years. So the gentleman who got fired probably has a good chance of getting his supervisor put in jail and fined.
And let me tell you something, okay? I don't advocate jail for anybody, okay? Just trust me when I say that.
But I don't
what
either.
What I'm saying is, if you understand that it is a possibility that can be bestowed upon you, then that should motivate you to just do the right thing, because you have to understand, none of this comes out of your pocket. None of this comes off of your end of year, bonuses. So by not doing the right thing, I'm sorry, go ahead.
When Kenny is saying "your," he's referring to the supervisor or management.
Of course, yes.
Not the injured worker.
Oh, no, definitely no. The injured worker, again, is just entitled to receive compensation to get that person back to where they were before the accident. But in short, I'm saying work safe, again, be conscious of the job that you do. Stop pulling manually all those APCs. If you are not on a piece of pit equipment, don't pull more than one. And if it takes you, listen very carefully, because you are working safe, if it takes you all night to get a thing done, then take all night. Now, notice I said, if it takes you that long because you're working safe, not because you're just not performing your job properly. But if it takes you all night because you're working safe, listen, you work safe and you'll always be okay. Hey, welcome back to the Kenny and Rob Injury Conversation Podcast. Again, every Tuesday night, we're back at 7 o'clock. Again, please join in But we want to have interesting conversation. If you have live injury compensation cases going on, we can discuss your case on a podcast. If you rather not say the office or your name, that's fine. If you'd rather say it, that's fine. But again, here's an injury compensation podcast for you to get your voice heard with respects to how injury compensation is processed in the Postal Service. And on that note, I'm going to turn you over to Robert Frost as he gives you a final good night.
Well, thank you for joining us, everyone. We look forward to helping you. Stop by anytime.
Good night.
Good night.